Chapter 8 Reacher saw the dry goods emporium, and the gas station, and the abandoned motor court, and the vacant unbuilt lot slide by, and then the cop accelerated to a steady 60 miles an hour. The tires rumbled over the rough road, and stray pebbles spattered the underside and bounced and skittered away to the shoulders. 12 minutes later, the car slowed and coasted and braked and came to a stop. The cop climbed out and put his hand on the butt of his gun and opened Reacher's door.
"Out," he said.
Reacher slid out and felt despair's grit under his shoes. The cop jerked his thumb to the east, where it was darker.
"That way."
Reacher stood still. The cop took the gun off his belt. It was a Glock 9mm, boxy and dull in the gloom. No safety catch, just a latch on the trigger, already compressed by the cop's meaty forefinger.
"Please," the cop said, "just give me a reason."
Reacher stepped forward 3 paces, saw the moon rising on the far horizon, saw the end of despair's rough gravel, and the start of hope's smooth blacktop, saw the inch-wide trench between, filled with black compound. The car was stopped with its push bars directly above it. The expansion joint, the boundary, the line. Reacher shrugged and stepped over it. 1 long pace back to hope. The cop called,
"Don't bother us again."
Reacher didn't reply, didn't turn around, just stood and faced east and listened as the car backed up and turned and crunched away across the stones. When the sound was all gone in the distance, he shrugged again and started walking. He walked less than 20 yards and saw headlights a mile away coming straight at him out of hope. The beams were widely spaced, bouncing high, dipping low, a big car moving fast. It came at him out of the gathering darkness, and when it was 100 yards away, he saw it was another cop car, another Crown Vic, painted black and white, police spec, with push bars, lights and antennas. It stopped short of him, and a spotlight mounted on the windshield pillar lit up and swiveled jerkily and played its beam all the way up and down him twice, coming to rest on his face, blinding him. Then it clicked off again and the car crept forward, tires hissing on the smooth asphalt surface, and stopped again with the driver's door exactly alongside him. The door had a gold shield painted on it with HPD scrolled across the middle. Hope Police Department. The window buzzed down, and a hand went up and a dome light came on inside. Reacher saw a woman cop at the wheel, short blonde hair, backlit by the weak yellow bulb above and behind her.
"Want a ride?" she asked.
"I'll walk," Reacher said.
"It's 5 miles to town."
"I walked out here. I can walk back."
"Riding is easier."
"I'm okay."
The woman was quiet for a moment. Reacher listened to the Crown Vic's engine. It was idling patiently. Belts were turning. A muffler was ticking as it cooled. Then Reacher moved on. He took 3 steps and heard the car's transmission go into reverse, and then the car came alongside him again, driving backward, keeping pace as he walked. The window was still down. The woman said,
"Give yourself a break, Zeno."
Reacher stopped, said,
"You know who Zeno was?"
The car stopped.
"Zeno of Sicium," the woman said, "the founder of Stoicism? I'm telling you to stop being so long-suffering."
"Stoics have to be long-suffering. Stoicism is about the unquestioning acceptance of destinies. Zeno said so."
"Your destiny is to return to hope. Doesn't matter to Zeno whether you walk or ride."
"What are you, anyway? A philosopher? Or a cop? Or a cab driver?"
"The Despair PD calls us when they're dumping someone at the line, as a courtesy."
"This happens a lot?"
"More than you'd think."
"And you come on out and pick us up?"
"We're here to serve." Says so on the badge.
Reacher looked down at the shield on her door. HPD was written across the scroll in the center, but To Protect was written at the top of the escutcheon with And Serve added at the bottom.
I see. So get in.
Why do they do it?
Get in and I'll tell you.
You going to refuse to let me walk?
It's 5 miles.
You're grumpy now. You'll be real cranky when you arrive in town.
Believe me, we've seen it before. Better for all of us if you ride.
I'm different. Walking calms me down. The woman said,
I'm not going to beg, Reacher.
You know my name?
Despair PD passed it on, as a courtesy.
And a warning?
Maybe.
Right now I'm trying to decide whether to take them seriously.
Reacher shrugged again and put his hand on the rear door handle. Up front, you idiot, the woman said. I'm helping you, not arresting you.
So Reacher looped around the trunk and opened the front passenger door. The seat was all hemmed in with radio consoles and a laptop terminal on a bracket, but the space was clear. No hat. He crammed himself in. Not much leg room because of the security screen behind him. Up front, the car smelled of oil and coffee and perfume and warm electronics. The laptop screen showed a GPS map. A small arrow was pointing west and blinking away at the far edge of a pink shape labeled Hope Township. The shape was precisely rectangular, almost square. A fast and arbitrary land allocation, like the state of Colorado itself. Next to it, Despair Township was represented by a light purple shape. Despair was not rectangular. It was shaped like a blunt wedge. Its eastern border matched Hope's western limit exactly. Then it spread wider, like a triangle with the point cut off. Its western line was twice as long as its eastern and bordered gray emptiness. Unincorporated land, Reacher figured. Spurs came off I-70 and I-25 and ran through the unincorporated land and clipped Despair's northwestern corner. The woman cop buzzed her window back up and craned her neck and glanced behind her and Kate turned across the road. She was slightly built under a crisp tan shirt, probably less than 5'6", probably less than 120 pounds, probably less than 35 years old. No jewelry, no wedding band. She had a Motorola radio on her collar and a tall gold badge bar pinned over her left breast. According to the badge, her name was Vaughn, and according to the badge, she was a pretty good cop. She seemed to have won a bunch of awards and commendations. She was good-looking, but different from regular women. She had seen stuff they hadn't. Reacher was familiar with the concept. He had served with plenty of women back in the MPs. He asked, "Why did Despair run me out?" The woman called Vaughn turned out the dome light. Now she was front-lit by red instrument lights from the dash and the pink and purple glow from the GPS screen and white scatter from the headlight beams on the road.
"Look at yourself," she said.
"What about me?"
"What do you see?"
"Just a guy."
"A blue-collar guy in work clothes. Fit, strong, healthy, and hungry."
"So?"
"How far did you get?"
"I saw the gas station and the restaurant and the town court."
"Then you didn't see the full picture," Vaughn said.
She drove slow, about 30 miles an hour, as if she had plenty more to say. She had one hand on the wheel with her elbow propped on the door. Her other hand lay easy in her lap. 5 miles at 30 miles an hour was going to take 10 minutes. Reacher wondered what she had to tell him. Less than 10 minutes wouldn't cover. He said, "I'm more green collar than blue."
"Green?"
"I was in the army. Military cop."
"When?"
10 years ago.
"You working now?"
"No."
"Well, then."
"Well, what?"
"You were a threat."
"How?" West of downtown Despair is the biggest metal recycling plant in Colorado.
I saw the smog.
There's nothing else in Despair's economy. The metal plant is the whole ballgame.
A company town, Reacher said.
Vaughn nodded at the wheel. The guy who owns the plant owns every brick of every building. Half the population works for him full-time. The other half works for him part-time. The full-time people are happy enough. The part-time people are insecure. They don't like competition from outsiders. They don't like people showing up, looking for casual labor, willing to work for less.
I wasn't willing to work at all.
You tell them that?
They didn't ask.
They wouldn't have believed you anyway. Standing around every morning, waiting for a nod from the foreman, does things to people. It's kind of feudal. The whole place is feudal. The money the owner pays out in wages comes right back at him, in rents. Mortgages, too. He owns the bank. No relief on Sundays, either. There's one church, and he's the lay preacher. You want to work? You have to show up in a pew from time to time.
Is that fair?
He likes to dominate. He'll use anything.
So why don't people move on?
Some have. Those who haven't never will.
Doesn't this guy want people coming in to work for less?
He likes the people he owns, not strangers.
So why were those guys worried?
People always worry. Company towns are weird.
And the town judge toes their line?
It's an elected position. And the vagrancy ordinance is for real. Most towns have one.
We do, for sure, in Hope. No way around it if someone complains. But nobody complained in Hope. I stayed there last night.
We're not a company town.
Vaughn slowed. Hope's first built-up block was ahead in the distance. Reacher recognized it.
A mom-and-pop hardware store.
That morning, an old guy had been putting stepladders and wheelbarrows out on the sidewalk, building a display. Now the store was all closed up and dark. He asked,
"How big is the Hope PD?"
Vaughn said,
"Me and two others and a watch commander."
"You got sworn deputies?"
"Four of them. We don't use them often. Traffic control, maybe. If we've got construction going on, why?"
"Are they armed?"
"No. In Colorado, deputies are civilian peace officers."
"Why?" "How many deputies does the Despair PD have?"
"Four, I think."
"I met them."
"And?"
"Theoretically, what would the Hope PD do if someone showed up and got in a dispute with one of your deputies and busted his jaw?"
"We'd throw that someone's sorry ass in jail real quick."
"Why?"
"You know why. Zero tolerance for assaults on peace officers, plus an obligation to look after our own, plus pride and self-respect."
"Suppose there was a self-defense issue.
Civilian versus a peace officer? We'd need some kind of amazing reasonable doubt. You'd have felt the same in the MPs."
"That's for damn sure."
"So why did you ask?"
Reacher didn't answer directly. Instead, he said,
"I'm not a stoic, really.
Zeno preached the passive acceptance of fate.
I'm not like that.
I'm not very passive. I take challenges personally."
"So?"
"I don't like to be told where I can go and where I can't."
"Stubborn?"
"It annoys me." Vaughn slowed some more and pulled in at the curb, put the transmission in park, and turned in her seat.
"My advice? Get over it and move on. Despair isn't worth it."
Reacher said nothing.
"Go get a meal and a room for the night," Vaughn said. "I'm sure you're hungry."
Reacher nodded. "Thanks for the ride, and it was a pleasure to meet you." He opened the door and slid out to the sidewalk. Hope's version of Main Street was called First Street. He knew there was a diner a block away on Second Street. He had eaten breakfast there. He set out walking toward it and heard Vaughn's Crown Vic move away behind him. He heard the civilized purr of its motor and the soft hiss of its tires on the asphalt. Then he turned a corner and didn't hear it anymore. An hour later, he was still in the diner. He had eaten soup, steak, fries, beans, apple pie, and ice cream. Now he was drinking coffee. It was a better brew than at that restaurant in Despair, and it had been served in a mug that was cylindrical in shape. Still too thick at the rim, but much closer to the ideal. He was thinking about Despair, and he was wondering why getting him out of town had been more important than keeping him there and busting him for the assault on the deputy.